Our God who reigns forevermore. Yeah, there's no end. There's no end to his glory. There's no end to his goodness. There's no end to our eternity that we're looking forward to with him. So we welcome you this morning, whether you're here virtually or else you're here physically. We are all here in God's presence. And today we get to hear about his commands to us. And a lot of good things coming. Let's start with our readings.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Our second reading is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Here ends the second lesson.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. Jesus speaking. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Here in the reading, you may be seated. Any kids want to go to children's church? You're excused at this time. Lord, we thank you for your word that's always there for us to comfort us, to reassure us, to bring us peace, and to convict us where necessary. May your word speak to us anew this morning, bringing what each of us needs, for you are good. Amen. God's commands. That's, well, a lot of things are just pouring in this week as I'm researching this and meditating on it and looking at things. But the reading today starts out, John, again, the gospel of love. And I haven't counted how many times the word love is mentioned in his letter here. I was going to say 1 John, the letter of love is what I call it many times. It's mentioned many times. And we hear it again here today. Starting out, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God or is born of God. Anybody here believe that Jesus is the Christ? Okay, you're all children of God. That's cool. It's that easy, and it's that wonderful, and it's just overwhelming. To be God's child, to be favored by Him, to be loved by Him, to be guided by Him, to have His commands that He's given us. I mean, it's an honor and a privilege to be a child of God. Does anybody feel worthy of that? My arm's not going up, I'll guarantee you, okay? Because it's a thing of grace, right? It's a gift from Him because He is so good. We can't earn it. We cannot earn it. But our God is so good that we are His children. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children as well. So loving those that are seated around you and across the earth, the children of God, the believers. Of course, we are also called to love unbelievers as well. But with the believers, there's something special there for sure. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. To obey His commands. That shows love when you obey His commands. You're honoring Him by doing so. As I'd asked a couple weeks ago, do we have to obey Him? No, we don't. We can choose to go rogue. We can choose to be rebellious. We can choose to go our own way. We don't have to obey His commands. Many of us, perhaps in your younger years, weren't really good at obeying His commands, but, you know, real life taught us some lessons, and here we are today. We don't have to, but we choose to. And again, that's important, because God wants people who choose Him of their own free will. He's given us free will. We have the ability to choose Him or reject Him. And it's meaningful and genuine when we choose Him out of our own free will, because we want to, not because we have to. Again, He rules out of love, not fear. We'd use the example a few weeks ago, too, of training up a dog. You can do it out of fear, or it's going to obey. You say, sit, and it does, you know. Or else you say, sit, and okay, what next? There's a big difference there, right? When we want to, not because we have to, and it's not out of fear. His commands, many people look at them, too, especially non-believers, perhaps, and they say, yeah, that takes all the fun out of life. Not really, okay? Maybe what you consider fun is not good for you or not what God desires you, right? He sets His boundaries. He sets His commands out of love. And His commands are not burdensome. And following them is not a burden either. It's not because we have to, because we choose to. We follow Him. It's out of love. It's not a burden if it's something that you want to do. Something that you enjoy doing, something that you find fulfilling, then it's not a burden. I was thinking of caretakers. I've seen a number of times, as have you, where, you know, one spouse is failing, maybe physically and mentally, etc., and the other one is the caretaker. Do they have to stay there and take care of them? Realistically, they don't. They could walk away, they could just push them off into a nursing home or something like that. But you see that commitment. You see that love, and it's genuine. They don't have to, but they want to. And they are there for each other. You know, you made a promise. Those of you that are married, when you got married, you made a promise that you're going to be there through the good and through the bad, through sickness and health, etc. And you follow through on that. But is it just because you're standing or fulfilling your word that you're keeping your promises? No, it's not that. It's a labor of love. It is. And that's just sort of a little snapshot. You know, the love that we have for each other, the love God has for us, and that we have for Him. I mean, it just goes all ways there. And again, it's a voluntary thing. It's a commitment because we want to. And good comes out of it, of course. His commands are for our good. His commands are well thought out. If you look at all the commands in the Old Testament, you know, you can think of the consequences of not doing them. Many times there's natural consequences. Something like, you know, not eating pork, etc. back then. there's trichinosis and things like that, which God knew about, and he's going to keep his people free from that. So he set boundaries. You know, you're not going to eat these certain animals. In Acts, we find out now that we can, and now bacon is accessible to all, and all the people rejoice, right? Okay, that's just, yes, thanks, God. That's the one thing I made the observation one day is that, you know, you have leftovers you put in the refrigerator and stuff after a meal, but how often do you have leftover bacon? I don't think I've ever realistically seen that. You know, it's just something as you're frying it up, people are walking by and just grabbing it off the plate next to the stove, right? You know, it's not leftovers. So God, yeah, his commands are for our good. He sees the dangers that we don't. We might be getting near a cliff. We don't realize it, but he will, you know, set some fences there to keep us safe. So they're all out of love. And that's what the people of the Old Testament, and they said, I rejoice in your laws, it says in the Psalms and things like that, because they know that God loves them. It's the evidence, it's the proof that God loves them, because he created these boundaries, these fences. Many times the grass might look greener on the other side of the fence, right? It's not, okay? His pastures are greener, they're better. We shouldn't even be looking across that fence. But the problem is that many times we think we know better than God. We look at his commands and say, yeah, that was good for people thousands of years ago, but we know better today, right? Okay. Well, people do think that. That they can now determine what's right and what's wrong, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what's truth and what's not truth, or make their own truth, a relative truth rather than absolute truth. We see it everywhere in our society today. Again, God knows better. If you had maybe a six-year-old or something say, hey, you get to make the rules today or this week, and we'll just do whatever you say or whatever you want, how well would that work, huh? What would we have for supper every night? Be ordering out for pizza every night, I suppose, stuff like that. Be staying up past our bedtimes, all kinds of things that are not healthy for you, right? Because he thinks he knows better, this little kid, but does not, in fact. We as parents know better. Same thing with us and God, right? When we start to think we know better, you're headed down the wrong road. We got away with it in your kids? Maybe you did. Okay. Alrighty. So, but when the six-year-old makes the rules, the staying up late, the eating junk food and all that stuff, it's just all about themselves, not about others, is another way to look at it, right? Would it ultimately be selfish? And when we try to make up our own rules instead of God's, would it all be about ourselves and what we want? Yeah. And the enemy, of course, is planting those thoughts and feeding those thoughts and encouraging people in these sinful behaviors and ways. You know, oh, it's okay. This stuff is just, you know, history. You don't have to do it anymore. You know, we know better now. No, not at all. You don't know better than God. But people are rebellious. I mean, by nature. That's, you know, in the Old Testament, you're a stiff-necked people. You want to go your own way, right? Not my way. God showed them what to do, but they depart. Sooner or later, they realize they did wrong, and they come back. It's the pattern through the whole Old Testament. Then they depart, and then they come back. They have to learn the hard way. We're still the same today. Just inventing new sins sometimes, too, and encouraging people in them. And just plain wrong. They think they know better, but they don't. So how do we help those who are in sin? Those that are set on doing their own thing and calling it okay, you can preach at them, but that doesn't really make the difference, does it? That might just harden their heart even more. Well, one thing for sure is don't enable them. When someone's straying from God's commands, trying to make their own way or something like that, don't enable them. Don't encourage them. There's a strong temptation, of course, that they're experiencing to be going these other ways. But don't enable them. It's like I've seen one time this, apart from a show on TV where this person, well, they were interviewing people that were extremely heavy. I mean, extremely, extremely heavy. These people could not get out of the house to go to the grocery store. Was someone enabling each of them? Someone's bringing the food in and cooking it, okay? That's just one example right there. You see it also with alcoholism and stuff like that and many other sins. Of course, someone is enabling. So please don't do that. Don't cheer them on in their sin. that we see with parades and stuff like that, and people are marching alongside others and, you know, glorifying things that are not of God. That's not love. To cheer them on in sin? Not love at all. We should be cheering them on towards God. Disturbing, you know. And people I know and work with and relate to every day that are backing these things up and, you know, not only saying it's okay, but cheering it on. No, we have to stand firm, but in a loving way to try to navigate that. Absolutely be there for them. If someone's following their own ways rather than God's commands, absolutely be there for them. Don't enable them, don't cheer them on, but be there for them. They need someone to talk to. They need help with something. Yeah, help them. Build that relationship. Get to know them. Serve them. Love them 100%. Come alongside people. We are called to do that. If someone's struggling, yes, of course we're going to help them. But we're not going to push them into the wrong way. We're going to help them into the right way. We're going to give them a tow rope, right? We're going to help them. Lead them to God. Another thing, sometimes someone is caught up in a sin, say like addiction. And sometimes you got to know when to say no. And that's tough. Sometimes you got to let them hit rock bottom. This is really tough for parents when a son or a daughter is caught up in addiction or something like that. And, hey, I just need $50. You know, I'll pay it back. And you know what they're going to use it for? We can't be enabling them. And again, sometimes letting them hit rock bottom out of love, which can be an incredibly tough thing to do if you counsel parents and stuff that of addicted children. And ultimately, we want to lead them into truth. And that's going to be a work of God, right? God has to soften the heart. The Holy Spirit has to enter in. And through God, in God's time, we can help lead them out of sin. If it's something we try to force on them, it's going to be counterproductive many times. God has to soften that heart. God has to be at work. And sooner or later, you realize, hopefully, that by golly, God's ways are better. His commands are for my good. These things that I saw as confining boundaries that did not let me to go out and have fun were actually there to protect me. And when I'm within those boundaries, when I'm in His pastures, I have enough. I have peace that I won't have out there beyond the fence. I am fed, I am watered, I am cared for, I am loved. In a way that's indescribable. You know, Psalm 23, right? He's got these pastures, the still waters, and He's protecting you, and He's loving you. And you know, why would you want to leave that? Why would you want to jump that fence? Once you realize how good it is with God, you wouldn't want to. We realize that His ways are better, His ways are higher, that He knows best. And His commands are not burdensome, as it says here. We're not carrying a heavy burden by living under God's commands and living in His ways. No. Instead, we have the security and we have the peace and we know that we are loved, that we are children of God, and that we can overcome the world, right? His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So we willingly follow these things, and we help and encourage others to do so. These commands have been around a long time, of course. We go way back to Exodus, as we heard today, the top 10, right? The big 10 commandments there. And I might add that they are the 10 commandments, not the 10 suggestions. Okay, these are pretty hard and fast with God. And it should give us pause for reflection. Am I violating these or His other commands? Now, you have many, many other laws back in the Old Testament. You had the civil laws, the punishments, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and what's going to happen. Someone disrespecting their parents, they could be killed. I mean, stoned to death. Okay, you had the civil, you had the ceremonial laws. This is how you'll offer sacrifices. There is explicit detail in what parts of the bull to be removed, what to be offered on the altar, and all that. And now that's been taken care of with Jesus' sacrifice. You no longer do that. So you have the civil laws, the ceremonial laws, but also the moral laws. And they still stand fast. How we treat others, 100%. And most of these commandments are actually about how we treat others. The first few are about treating God. You know, you'll have no other gods before him. He's very serious about that. No other gods before me. Him first and foremost. Even his name is holy. Don't misuse that. And honor him by not working on Sundays. Again, those first three there, at least according to the Lutheran way of numbering them, are about us and God. The remainder, then, are about how us and others, how you treat your parents, how you don't kill people, how you don't go running around with someone else's wife or husband, etc. How you don't steal, how you don't lie, and you don't covet what's your neighbor's. All those are between us and other people. So we have the ones between us and God, the ones between us and others. All summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets are fulfilled in these two commands. Love God, love others. It's that simple. Just remember that and do it. Don't just remember it, do it. Yeah, important that we live it out. Love God and love others. Now, it's interesting that these 10 basic rules cover so many things, almost everything. How we treat others, that we don't take what's not ours, etc. Yet our nation has thousands and thousands of laws to say what 10 basic commandments say. Why do we make it so complicated? We're always trying to find these little loopholes, right? And then you got to close up that loophole. Then we got to add another law, and then another one on top of that. And we got to amend this one. And again, we're being rebellious, trying to find ways out of things. So, what if I do it this way? You know, the Pharisees are good at that too. Jesus called them out on that, inheritances and how they treated their folks and everything like that. But if we don't buck the system, if we realize God is best, we follow his rules, things tend to go a whole lot better. Again, maybe we got to find out the hard way for a little bit at first, but sooner or later we'll come around to his way of thinking because his ways are better. We do live in a world that's full of sin. It's out there. The temptations are everywhere. Maybe you don't respond to them like you used to now that you're more secure in your faith. It becomes better. Of course, we're still tempted. Always will be. But Gwen had brought up at Bible study that, you know, just if there's no sin or something like that, you wouldn't need like bank vaults. Just stack the money out in the sidewalk or something like that. Wouldn't have to worry about it, right? If there are no sin, if there are no temptation. If everybody was nice to everybody else, would we need prisons? No, because nobody committing any crimes. Would you need a military? No, everybody's nice in the world. They're not going to invade you. Do we need borders? No, we don't need any of that. We could save a whole lot of money, a whole lot of time, a whole lot of trouble if everybody would simply be nice to everybody else. Just following these commandments right there. Don't take what's not yours by invading another country for no reason, etc. Okay, it's all right here. God laid it all out. If we were just smart enough to follow it as people, it'd be great. But we are sinful and we need boundaries. God provided them. And they're still valid. Again, we cannot think that we know better than God, starting to make up our own version of right and wrong, etc. It just doesn't work that way. You can, I guess, yeah, but it's not going to lead to good things. His ways are better. His commands are not burdensome. And that's what Jesus said in the gospel today, right? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Yeah, it's like an ice-cold glass of water in the shade after you've been out bailing all day. Doesn't that just taste good? Isn't that just wonderful? Yeah, that he's going to give you a break. He's going to give you rest. So what was burdening the people? To what is he referring here? All you are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. A couple different theories on that. One was the laws of the Pharisees. All the people back then, of course, they had God's laws and the Pharisaical laws, which are on top of them, and they had many, many laws, and they had become a burden. God wants what's good for them. Of course, also, we are burdened by sin. That's the other thing. We're constantly tempted to do this, that, or the other thing. And yes, that is a burden upon us. But he's got a better way, is what he's telling us. He's got a better way. If we'll just listen and figure it out, right? Take my yoke upon you. You still got a yoke, okay? A yoke is a big heavy beam that was used for carrying or for pulling or hauling things. You could put like a bucket of water on each side and balance out, and you could carry more that way. The oxen, of course, are yoked to pull the plow. So yeah, his yoke upon you, and learn from me. Learn from him. Yeah, that's, we can read through all this, but that's not the same as learning from it, right? And sometimes it takes the real life experience so that we do learn. But learn from him, not from the world, not from other people. Learn from him. Learn from his words. Let them guide you. For I am gentle and humble in heart. That's Jesus right there. He's strong. He's incredibly strong. He's incredibly faithful. And he's all powerful. But at the same time, he's gentle and humble. He's got like the ultimate man thing going on there. Very strong, very faithful, provides everything. Steadfast, but at the same time, gentle and humble. And you'll find rest for your souls. So if we look at it from the ways of the Pharisees' laws, the peoples are bound by them, and with the Pharisees, it had become all about the law. Everything is about the law. Following every little bit of the law, not straying from it, and it was so much about the law that they lost sight of God. Okay, the laws are there, therefore are good. But don't lose sight of God, because relationship with him has to come first. If you're living in his ways, you're going to want to follow him. You're going to want to follow the laws. You're going to do it out of love. It all comes back around here. It's a beautiful thing. When we give ourselves to him, when we honor him, respect him, and follow him in all of our ways, and what we say and what we do, it's beautiful. Things do go better. And we'll have the opportunity then to bring others into the fold as well. Say, hey, here's what my life used to be like. Here's what it's like now. Listen to what God's done for me. Give that testimony. That others who are following their own ways, thinking that they can set their own rules, they might be moved by it. Because do they have peace inside? I'm going to bet you they don't. I'm going to bet you they don't have peace in their souls. That they're experiencing turmoil while they're walking in ways that are not God's ways. And it's beautiful to hear those accounts of someone that was maybe caught up in these other lifestyles and things, and then finally realizing, coming to Christ, and getting peace for their souls, where there's no longer upheaval and turmoil. They are now experiencing peace, now living under God's blessings, finding out that his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and that he cares and loves for you. What a cool deal. What a wonderful God. All praise, honor, and glory to him. Amen.